You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We've got a couple of topics that we do have prepared, some topics not prepared, and other topics that we don't even know we're about to get into yet.
That's right. It's like a mystery grab bag.
Yes.
Of stuff.
Right.
And other things.
And you guys will probably know what we'll be talking about because we do the little bio and little recap blog post. But right now, we're in the moment. Whatever's happening now is happening now here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
When is then going to be now?
Soon. I was just watching that the other day. I was seriously just watching Spaceballs the other day.
That's such a good movie. I haven't seen it in so long.
That's one of my favorite movies. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
it's so good. I'm trying to remember some lines from it. One of my favorite sequences is when he's over at the radar, and he's going, "We got the beeps, the sweeps, and the creeps."
The what?
You know, the beeps. I can't remember the sounds he makes. The sweeps, woo, 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 and the creeps, you know, whatever he does.
That's not all he's lost. Yeah, there's so many good parts. If you have not seen Spaceballs, you need to fix that immediately.
You really do.
Yeah. It's the best parody ever on Star Wars. Like, just ever. Mel Brooks is amazing. Let's dive right into the introduction portion of the show. So I kind of did a little teaser. I rewatched Spaceballs. How about you, Mike? Anything you've been up to since we last recorded?
Oh, boy. I'm trying to remember now. I have been just busying myself with a whole bunch of new entertainment releases. One new, one not so new. I've been playing a lot of the Crash Bandicoot Insane trilogy that released exclusively on PlayStation 4. For those of you that don't know, Crash Bandicoot was one of Sony's first exclusive titles for the fledgling PlayStation system. It was Naughty Dog's first game for Sony back in the day.
And they ended up doing Uncharted and
The Last of Us. Yeah, so they started from humble beginnings of this orange Bandicoot running down these 3D paths. But being able to relive those games 20 years later has made me realize a few things. One, that there is definitely a market for these old 3D platformers. It's been selling like crazy. It's all over the place online. People are really loving the game. And the other thing that I realized is that I'm terrible at video games now.
Lost your skills?
I've lost the touch. On the original PlayStation 1, as, what was I, 10, 11, 12 maybe, I achieved 104% of Crash Bandicoot Warped.
Oh, how can you have 104%?
Secret levels. I completed every last thing the game had to offer. I can barely stay alive in these games. It is so ridiculously difficult. The amount of precision you need on the jumps. And it's just insanely, insanely difficult. Me and my brother lost more than 20 lives on one level trying to get across this stupid bridge.
Okay, so let me bring it to Nintendo, because when I grew up, I was on the Nintendo 64 platform. The biggest thing for us was Super Mario 64.
Right.
And that was one of those games that was so big. Like, you just analyzed every single level of it. Yeah, you found the secret levels.
Yeah.
You found the Easter eggs.
Right.
There were hidden stars you had to uncover and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think if I had to go back and play Super Mario 64, I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Yeah, I don't know what it requires, like, a young kid's, like, obsessiveness.
Right.
To, like, memorizing the levels and learning, like, the perfect way to approach each jump. And also those twitch reflexes that, you know, 20 years later, I just don't have that anymore.
You're like, old, Mike.
I'm just like staring at the screen and I'm like, how do I make this jump? And I'm like struggling. I feel like an old man, like trying to like
Mike, you're
fumbling
old.
With the controller.
You're old, Mike.
That being said, it is some of the most fun I've ever had with a video game this year. It is so much fun to relive those memories and just to realize how difficult these games were and just to think back on all those good times. If you haven't played Crash Bandicoot, you will not enjoy it because it is brutally difficult. But if you did play Crash Bandicoot, it's an awesome way to relive those memories with a nice new bright and shiny package. They have a couple of new features. You can play as Crash Bandicoot's sister and you can do time trials for all the levels. So,
Cootie Bandicoot?
No, Coco Bandicoot.
Coco Bandicoot.
There you go. Yeah, she has a name, Rich.
All right. Cootie. I thought that would be close.
It actually is. Yeah. Cootie, Coco.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Little cootie.
This is getting weird. I've been doing that. And I've also been watching the Netflix series Master of None, which was recommended to me by my brother John Bruno, starring Aziz Ansari. It is a very, very funny show. I originally wrote it off. I was like, I don't know how it's going to do. But I finished the first season. And that came out, I think, a year or two ago. It's really, really smart. I mean, the writing is just so well done. It has, like, this really honest, down-to-earth view of modern 21st century living. And it's almost – the one thing that I think of is it's almost like a more modern Seinfeld. Like, it's each episode is just sort of like a random topic that they deal with. That they encountered that day, and the whole episode is about that thing. And it has an overarching story, but each episode is definitely self-contained. You can appreciate each episode on its own for the most part, at least for season one. But it's really, really funny, really, really smart, really heartfelt. Highly recommend it. That's Master of None on Netflix. So I've been busy with entertainment. Also got to see a movie, but I'm going to save that for later in the podcast.
Okay.
Rich, what have you been up to this weekend?
Nothing much, really. I did a couple of rewatching and recapping of Nolan movies because I'm getting excited for Dunkirk coming up.
That's right. That's coming out soon,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yep. Not you know.
I don't know
yet.
When, but it's coming out soon.
It's like 2 or 3 weeks. It's close.
Okay.
It's coming
up.
Not
coming
yet.
Up. All right.
So yeah.
We'll have to go see that.
So I rewatched like some of the classics. I watched Insomniac, and I rewatched Memento.
Oh, Memento is good. I've never seen Insomniac, but Memento is good.
Yeah. So, you know,
there really isn't a bad Christopher Nolan film.
I love every single one of Christopher Nolan's movies.
One that never gets mentioned, The Prestige.
Oh, another great one, yeah.
You always forget that it's a Nolan film, but it is, and it's really good, and I feel like people just overlook it all the time.
A lot of people and me forget that David Bowie's in it. He's
in
Tesla.
The Prestige?
Yeah.
Really?
He's Tesla.
Wow, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
And I've seen the movie like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, he's Tesla. Yeah.
Wow, it's a great movie.
Yeah, it is. So I would highly recommend you go rewatch some of the Nolan classics because Dunkirk is getting a lot of hype and deservedly so. It's Nolan's next directing feature. So
it'll be interesting to see his take on a war movie.
Right.
Because you know he's not going to approach it like every other director's always approached a war movie.
At least I hope not. Yeah.
I don't want Saving Private Ryan 2.0. Not that Saving Private Ryan isn't one of the best movies ever. I just want to see a different approach.
Right. So that's what I did. But there's one more thing that I want to point out before we delve into the topics.
Okay.
And that was, Mike, it was your birthday.
Yes,
we didn't cover it on the podcast.
No. We were very busy last week.
Yeah, we had a lot of things happening. So I want to give you due time. Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you.
And in honor of your birthday, I'm going to debut, just for you, Mike... Just for you, Mike. I'm calling it Epic Wind Music Sounder Mach 2.
Okay.
So congratulations, Mike. Happy birthday!
Mamma mia! Yeah.
What does this guy think? He's an Indian?
Like,
fresh eyes?
Wow. So, in case people didn't notice, the new thing is this very regal-sounding version of this song.
Yeah, from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yep, so...
I feel very special that you decided to give me this extra special Regal music.
Right. It's Mach 2 of our epic win button.
I like it. Thank you.
So, yeah. Happy birthday, Mr. Mike Costanzo, lover of grenades, Lord of the Rings,
yes,
LeBron James, and...
Yeah.
But no, it's great. Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll have to set off a few grenades in celebration.
Yeah, that's what you do on the 5th of July. 4th of July is fireworks.
5th of July is grenades.
5th of July is grenades. I think that's an American tradition we can all get behind.
Sure.
For now, that will wrap up our introduction portion of the show. Happy birthday to you, Mike.
Thank you.
Now let's move on to our first batch of news topics to get to. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yeah, sports coming at you in your face in the sports sampler. And we're kicking it off with a couple of topics really fast within 2 minutes. We call it the 2 minute drill. Let's launch into it. Mike, what do you got?
All right. Well, first up in the 2 minute drill, we have some football news. Dallas Cowboys rising star quarterback Dak Prescott hit some unusual turbulence when he was accused of using a machine to sign memorabilia. ESPN reported earlier this week that Steve Grad, principal authenticator at Beckett Grading Services.
Very official.
Very official. Beckett Grading Services is a company that evaluates and values trading cards. But anyway, he refused to verify the quarterback's signature in a recent card set. He claimed that the signature had a machine-like look and feel to it, saying that it seems as if it had been created by a machine known as AutoPen. Did you realize this was a controversy in the sports world? Athletes using a machine to sign their signature?
Yeah. If you're going to be known for your signature, yeah. I mean, I can understand how, like, you know, collectors, pawn shops, you know, like, I can imagine, like, Rick Harrison in Pawn Stars, you know. Best I can do is $5. I can't verify this.
Yeah, I can't verify the signature.
You know? So look what you did.
Yeah,
Dak.
Oh, Dak Prescott, you gotta get your act together, man. You can't be forging your own signature.
Yeah, bad karma, man.
It is. Yeah, you know what? He shortened the fans is what it is.
Yeah.
Typical Dallas player. Ugh. I feel like that story is just an excuse for us to hate on Dallas.
All right, well, we got more topics.
We do. And the second topic of the two-minute drill, former Baltimore Ravens All-Pro safety Ed Reed created a few laughs and debates this week with a Twitter response to an NFL.com ranking of the best safeties of all time. Ed Reed responded with a simple LOL tweet after learning he was ranked the fourth best safety of all time by NFL.com writer Gil Brandt. Many believe Ed Reed is the best safety to ever play the game, with 64 career interceptions, 9 Pro Bowls, 5 All-Pro selections, and a Super Bowl win in 11 years. It's hard to argue otherwise. One point of contention personally, though, Philadelphia Eagles safety Brian Dawkins only ranked 11th all-time. That's insane.
That sucks. I know you wanted to talk about that a little bit more. What else do you want to mention?
Well, it's just that... So, here's my main gripe. Brian Dawkins was ranked 11th all-time on this list, which is just insane. When you look at what Brian Dawkins did, I'm just going to read off his stat line real quick. Remember, this dude played in the league, I think it was 16 or 17 years. There are guys on this list much higher than him that only played 7 or 8 years. And in his 16 years, he was voted to 9 Pro Bowls and 4 All-Pros. Only one less than Ed Reed. He had 37 career interceptions, but he's also one of the few players in NFL history to have over 35 interceptions, I think 30 sacks and 30 forced fumbles. So he did everything. He is really the safety that made safeties like Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu possible. The all-around, do-it-everything safety, stopping the run, covering receivers, blitzing the quarterback. It just annoys me that he's ranked so low, but it annoys me even more that Troy Polamalu of the Pittsburgh Steelers was ranked second all-time, Rich. How do you feel about this? He only played 11 years, one less Pro Bowl, same amount of All-Pro.
Does he have 2 Super Bowl rings, too?
That's the difference. He has 2
I feel like that's why he gets
boosted.
But
how important is a safety in Super Bowl wins? I mean, one could argue that every player is important. But when you look at legacy and contributions to the game, I think Brian Dawkins and Ed Reed both blow Polamalu out of the water.
Dawkins definitely should be higher. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, that is embarrassing. Troy Polamalu was higher than Ronnie Lott and Ed Reed. and Brian Dawkins.
Who's number one?
Number one is somebody, Emlyn Tunnell. I'm not familiar with him, but he had 79 career interceptions, so I think he was pretty good.
Okay, that's a good way to sum it up.
Yeah.
But there you go. Yeah, come on. Bump B-Doc up.
He's got it. In my book, he's at least top five.
Yeah, come on. He's got to be up there. All right, so with that, let's move on to our main topic here in the sports sampler. And this is an interesting story that's been developing this week. All right, let's see. How do I begin this? All right, let's take it back to the reason why we're going to talk about Oakland. Even though we're a Philadelphia podcast, we're going to talk about Oakland. So this week was the All-Star Week for baseball. So it's a big gala. An interesting moment happened during one of the press conferences at the All-Star break. It's usually supposed to be more, jovial, more friendly. It's All-Star games, nothing really crazy. But this part was newsworthy. MLB Commissioner, now I forget his name. Rob Manfred. Man, if I can remember his name. Rob Manfred had a little press conference. And they asked him, is the MLB looking towards expansion? They have 30 teams right now.
Okay.
Maybe it could be like football, 32 teams.
Why?
Cool. Why not? You could.
They play 162 games. Why do you want to add another two teams playing 162
more
games?
More money. Why not? More money, more fans. God, all right, whatever. That's not the point.
Okay. Anyway.
You're anti-non-sports that aren't football.
Anti-non-sports? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. Thank you. Anyway, the point is, I'm trying to get to the meat of this topic here.
Okay.
So they asked Rob Manfred, if you were to do expansion, where would you look? And he listed a couple cities off the bat. He would like to go back to Montreal because the Expos used to be there. Now they don't have anybody.
Right.
They would also look into Mexico City because they want to be more international.
Okay.
And a couple of other American cities. But he punctuated it with a sort of backhanded warning to the Oakland Athletics. And he basically said, all of this discussion is completely worthless and not even worth talking about until we know what is going to happen with the Athletics. And that has been kind of making the rounds and have been lighting a fire underneath the asses of the Oakland Athletics, because I think this is kind of a stern warning. Like, you guys need to get your crap together.
Yeah.
And the backstory behind this has to do with, yes, Mike, football. The Raiders.
Thank God.
Yes, the Raiders. The Oakland Raiders and the Oakland Athletics, as of right now, share the same stadium.
Right.
It's an old stadium from the 60s. That's like, it's like Veterans Stadium. It's built to do both baseball and football, and
it's not good at either.
Right, and it's not good at either. It's just it needs to come down. It's old. It's worthless. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not good.
It's time for it to go.
Right. Well, the Raiders already are anxious to move to Vegas. They have everything planned out as far as we know. They know in 2 years at the most they want to be in Vegas. They've already bought the land that they're going to build the new stadium on. That literally every check mark that you can cross off, the Raiders have done, and they're looking forward to moving to Vegas. On the other hand, the Athletics have been just kind of sitting on their ass waiting to see what's going to develop.
They're like, let's see how this Oakland Raiders thing plays out.
Right. So,
because when the Raiders, so clear this up for me, when the Raiders leave, they're going to demolish the stadium. Correct?
Yes.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah. Because that stadium's just old. It needs to go.
So 2019-2020, the Oakland Athletics are homeless.
If they don't come up with a plan, yeah.
Okay. So the clock is ticking.
Yes. There are plans in place for the Athletics called Cisco Field, which is the proposed ballpark that will be built for the Oakland Athletics. But here's the thing about that is, even though they have the sponsor ready and they kind of have a design ready, they don't even have a location ready for this. There's talks that it could be in Fremont, California. There's talks that it could be in San Jose, but that talk has been died down a little bit. The main preference is going to be 66th Avenue in Oakland, if I can talk. But yeah, they haven't nailed down the actual physical location of where this is going to be. So I think this heat coming from Rob Manfred is, you know, to light a fire. Like athletics, you guys got to, you know, got to get your crap together.
Right.
You know, you're reaching 2020 really fast. You know,
yeah.
You better step on it. So basically, my overall question in this news story, and I'm curious to know your opinion on it. Did the Raiders, in a way, end up just screwing over the Athletics in this deal?
I mean, they're definitely exacerbating the issue.
Is there somebody at fault here?
I don't know if there's anybody at fault. The Raiders are just doing what the Raiders are going to do.
Yeah.
They don't care about anybody or anything. They're set on this Las Vegas thing. Like you said, they have everything in place already. I don't know what the MLB commissioner gains from reprimanding the Athletics like that by implying that they need to get their, you know, that they need to like work on this faster. I don't know what, you know, he's looking to gain from that. The Athletics, they seem like they're just content to exist until they're forced
just
to
generally exist.
Yeah, until they're forced to like do something.
Do we even need a stadium?
They're just sort of like lounging. Yeah, like they're like, well, you know, we got the little league park over
right.
there. They
can't
got a couple
just,
of.
Can't we just play wherever there's a diamond?
I feel like they would end up doing that just from the way you describe it. Seems like they're very lackluster on the whole thing. Like they're like, hey, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen.
Well, it does seem like it because, you know, the Raiders are, you know, busy.
The Raiders talk of moving to Vegas started, what, like maybe last year?
Yeah.
If that.
Right.
And they're
it's
ready.
It's light speed.
Yeah, they're ready to go. The Athletics, I don't know how long they've been looking at making this fabled, what is it, Cisco Field?
Right. That's supposed to be the proposal.
Yeah. They don't have a location. They barely have plans. You know, it's the stadium isn't going to go up in a day, so it's going to take at least a year, year and a half to build and get it all figured out. So they're running out of time. They got maybe two and a half years to get this done.
Yeah. It just seems like the Raiders haven't really helped.
The Raiders
are like so gung-ho to get the hell out of Oakland.
Yeah.
That makes the Athletics look lazy.
Yeah, right. And really,
but I'm pretty sure that they're not. I'm pretty sure the Athletics just want to stay in Oakland.
I think that the way the Oakland Athletics are doing it is the way it's supposed to be done, and that the Raiders are the exception in that they decided seemingly overnight that they're going to move. And then it was just like a done deal. Like usually these things are long in the works, and it seemed like the Oakland Raiders were just like, oh, we're gonna move. And they just like packed up a suit, like the owner just packed a suitcase and just like left.
Yeah,
you know.
So I feel like
I think it's more a case of the Raiders like unknowingly speeding up the process more than the Athletics being lazy,
right? Because the Raiders did all this so fast and so in
it
a rush,
sudden, didn't
right.
it?
Right. It just seems like, yeah, the Athletics are dragging their feet, but they're really not. It doesn't seem, they're you're right. They're kind of doing it how the way it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, you wait till the city makes a decision, you wait till you get the funding and all this stuff. But now, yeah, even the commissioner of baseball is calling them out. Like, you guys need to figure this out sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I guess the only thing that is a head scratcher for me is why would the commissioner even say anything on the matter? Like, are they actually planning to expand, and why would expansion hinge on what the Athletics do? Like,
well,
can't you expand and the Athletics still play in a parking lot if they want?
Well, no, because you don't know whether or not the Athletics are going to be moving to one of those cities. Like,
okay.
let's say the Athletics,
they decide to move too.
Right. Let's say the Athletics don't want to be in Oakland anymore. Like,
right.
There's a new owner or something buys the team and says, yeah, we don't want to be in Oakland. Well, then now you're looking at, okay, they could move to another city. They could move to Montreal.
Okay.
They could move to Mexico City or whatever.
So the commissioner is saying, you know, like, we'd like to put a team here, but we don't know if that team is going to be the Athletics moving there.
Right.
Or a brand new team. Okay.
Exactly.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So really, they're sort of holding up the works for the MLB.
Exactly.
Not holding it up, but
if Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred is serious about possible expansion talks, he can't make a decision on that until this is settled.
Yeah.
So, but in a way, it just seems like everyone's throwing the Athletics under the bus.
Yeah, it seems like the Athletics are stuck between a rock and a hard place here.
Yeah.
And That's a shame. Maybe they do decide to move. Maybe Oakland doesn't bring as much traffic without the Raiders there. Maybe it's not worth it to them anymore.
But see, here's the thing. The Oakland Athletics are just designed to be a mid-market team.
Right.
They don't have the heavyweight muster of a Yankees or Red Sox or the Phillies.
So moving to Montreal, that'd be mid-market.
I think Oakland
Mexico City would be mid-market.
I think Oakland would still fit them, though, because you're going to have the Raiders leave. Poor Oakland. Are they really going to lose every single team?
Does Oakland want to build a giant new stadium? The fact that they've kept two teams in a stadium that's 50 years old, I think is telling about how eager they are to build a new one.
Yeah, that's possible.
They would have built one a long time ago if they really...
But here's something else, too. The Raiders were ridiculous. They wanted like $1 billion stadium. They wanted one of those stadiums, you know, the Falcons got, you know, one of these crazy hyped
up. Want Jerry Land.
Right, exactly. That's why they moved to Vegas, because they knew Vegas would actually deliver the billion-dollar stadium.
We want every parking spot to come with a white tiger. Vegas is like, okay, sure, excellent.
But the Athletics are less in their demands. Matter of fact, the latest projection as to how much...
They just want a grass field.
Yeah, please.
The way you're telling this story makes it seem like they're just like, whatever, dude.
The latest projection for Cisco Field for the cost is $450 million. Which is nothing for a stadium.
That is nothing.
Right.
That's like bargain bin stadiums.
Right. This is what I'm talking about.
It's made out of popsicle sticks for $450. No, honestly, didn't Jerry Land cost like...
A billion.
Like over a billion dollars.
Yeah. So I feel like... Oakland kind of the Athletics kind of fit Oakland. They're that mid-market team,
and that's a reasonable request. The question is, though, does Oakland have the money to foot the bill?
Right,
because sports apparently is funded through taxpayer dollars, which is another conversation.
Yeah,
but so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this develops.
Right.
Thank you, Raiders, for causing such a commotion in another sport. Like, it would be the Raiders.
Right.
Crazy Al Davis's ghost coming back to like just ruin everybody's day.
Right. So my main going back to my main question, do the Raiders have a fault in this? Is there like
I guess inadvertently, kind of. I don't know if you could place blame on them entirely. They're just doing what they want to do. You know,
the Raiders are
gonna be like, hey, Athletics, do you mind if we move and destroy your stadium? Like, you know, that's not part of their responsibilities to make sure that the other teams in the city are prepared for this.
Going back to macro, the Raiders are one of the few teams that could make a decision and cause shockwaves to multiple sports leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. They have a knack of just ruining people's days.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting and something that, you know, if you're a baseball fan, this is something to keep an eye on because the commissioner is going to demand an answer sooner rather than later as the future of the Oakland Athletics. So we'll see where it ends up. My personal prediction would be they stay in Oakland and Oakland foots the bill for Cisco Field because it seems like they have
reasonable.
The blueprints. Yeah, it's a reasonable demand. $400 million for a stadium is nothing for a professional.
That's actually shockingly underpriced.
Right, for a professional sports team, that's pretty low. The only question is where they're going to put it. That seems to be the first big hurdle.
Right.
So
then you have to figure out zoning, and I mean, there's a whole bunch of other they got to start on this process.
Right. Well, that's why Rob Manfred called him out on it. So there you go. I thought that was an interesting main topic for the sports sampler.
It's, very rarely do we have like cross sports, inter sports league conversations.
Yeah. Damn it, Raiders.
Raiders.
What the Raiders are
making
doing.
Me mix my football with baseball.
It's like a watered down drink.
that's exactly what it is. I don't want my football watered down with baseball.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Well, you know what? Usually we would end the sports sampler right then and there, but there's something else that I want to get to.
Okay.
And it's just a couple of just weird facts that I've dug up in my research of going over topics.
Okay.
And they're so weird, I want to mention them. But at the same time, they don't fit into, like, a traditional news story that we cover.
Right.
So
I think there's a solution to this, though.
Yeah. Mike came up with the perfect solution to this.
We're debuting a brand new segment. It's all Rich all the time. It's Rich's Random Roundabout.
Yeah, that's right. That's a new segment. I have a couple of just random facts for you that just happen to not really fit into like a main topic or one of our segments that we have already. So yeah.
These are just tidbits that you had to get off your chest.
That's
They're not full stories. They're just interesting little tidbits.
Right. Just, you know, they're so good, I have to at least mention it.
Okay. What do you got for us in this debut segment?
So one of the things, I'll get it out of the way, is golf. Because we're going to talk about golf next week. British Open is coming up.
Okay.
I'm researching my golf stats already. and that was, I found what was the highest score ever in a PGA Tour event.
Oh, interesting.
Now,
how bad does it get?
Now, but see, this is the interesting part, is if it gets too bad, most golfers would just quit. They would just, say, I'm not going to finish out the round. This is embarrassing.
Right.
But one brave golfer actually finished out the round in 1978 with a final scorecard of 123.
Wow. Yes. You told me, what did you say normal par was? Like,
it's usually
70s?
Like 70, 72. This guy's par is 123, wow. 50 over par.
That's insane. That's like almost double.
That's right. The unlucky golfer was Mike Rezor. And are you ready for the reason why his score was so high?
Sure.
This is where it gets ridiculous. This is where it gets to, like, I needed to talk to you about this, Mike.
Okay.
And you guys listening. Is between the second and the third round of the tournament, he decided to randomly, I'm going to go ride a horse.
What?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I'm in the middle of a major, you know, PGA tournament. I'm going to ride a horse. Why not?
At the golf course, or, like, did he leave?
No, this was after the round.
Oh, after the round. Okay.
And, of course, he picked the wrong horse because he went crazy and he fell off the horse and he injured his arm.
I know that's sad, but it's also hilarious.
So he decided to play the entire round on Saturday with just one arm and a 5-iron.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like something I would try to do if I was being forced to golf.
But it actually happened in the PGA, and that's why his score was 123.
Wow.
Just...
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought you would like... This is what I'm talking about. Like, it's not enough to be, like, its own thing, but it's so good I have to mention it.
Exactly.
So, true story there.
So, fun golf tidbit, and you have something else for us.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. Something else I want to mention is our old friend, Jeremy Maclin.
Okay, yeah. Former Eagles wide receiver, Pro Bowler.
Jeremy Maclin. He just landed in Baltimore. He's enjoying his new team, the Baltimore Ravens. And he made good on a promise from a popular restaurant. A popular restaurant called Jimmy's Famous Seafood boasted that if Maclin signed with Baltimore, he would give him and his wife free crab cakes for life.
Okay.
So
that's a pretty good deal.
So guess what?
What?
Monday he showed up and he asked for his free crab cakes.
Nice.
And there's photos online if you want to check it out on BaltimoreRavens.com. He shows up and he's enjoying his crab cakes.
That's awesome. That's one way to endear yourself to the fans.
Yeah. And apparently it's for lifetime. So congratulations, Jeremy Maclin. You just won a free lifetime supply of crab cakes.
If I were him, I'd eat there like every single week.
Yeah. Like, you
and
said it.
Put that company out of business. Eating so many crab cakes.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, though. Good on them for keeping the promise, and good on Maclin for doing something fun for the fans, the new fans in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they're going to really like him there.
Yeah. Well, he fits the void left by Steve Smith Sr.
Definitely.
So, yeah, good. It's a good move for the Ravens. And one more tidbit just for you.
Okay.
Because I know you asked me, is there anything about the Eagles?
Okay.
So here's one for you, Mike. The Eagles, as of right now, as of recording this podcast, the Eagles wide receivers are hanging out with Carson Wentz in Fargo, North Dakota.
Nice.
Just, sure, hanging out.
Why not? Hey, they got to build that rapport, right?
Yeah. I wonder, how they're playing a game of catch or whatever in Fargo, North Dakota. So,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It can't be cold there this time of year.
Yeah, I guess so, because it's summer. I don't know. I have no idea what the weather is
They're
like.
They're probably hunting, if anything.
Well,
isn't Carson Wentz a big hunter?
Yeah, he is.
That's what they're probably doing.
But that's important. They're all building chemistry. They're all hanging out in Fargo, North Dakota. I feel like it needs to be like the beginning of like some sort of like weird 80s sitcom. Like, it's Carson and the gang.
Carson and the gang.
Come on, guys.
Come on up to Fargo.
We got
to
solve this murder mystery. I don't know why I went to Fargo.
Well,
yeah.
Because they're in Fargo.
Fargo.
Yeah,
right,
there you go.
There you
Not
go.
That big a stretch. This is what, season 4 of the miniseries? Season 3 of the miniseries?
Yeah.
Starring Carson Wentz and the gang.
Right. So, please, for the love of God, first murder victim, Nelson Aguilar. Nelson Aguilar.
Wow. 4 wide receivers go to Fargo. Only 3 return.
Come on, Nelson. No, I kid. But Nelson better have a damn good season or he's going to have a bad ending.
Well, according to people online, he's going to have a breakout season.
Bam.
He's the next good wide receiver. I was trying to think of a name, and I couldn't think of a name.
Allegedly. So, there you go. Just a couple of topics that I wanted to mention here in this brand new segment, Rich's Random Roundabout. Yeah, so there you go. Mike came up with the idea, because I had, like... these quick like tidbits, and I wasn't sure like how we can do it.
Yeah. Well, before the podcast, you're like, oh, look at this. And we were like, oh, you know, that would be interesting, but it's not really a full story. So, yeah, we came up with the Rich's Random Roundabout. I love that alliteration.
Yeah. Well, I know you love alliteration.
And
so.
I mean, and we had to find a way to fit in that song.
Yes.
Roundabout.
Yes.
By
Yes. I love Yes.
That song was a journey and a half, man.
But yeah, let us know if you liked it. You know, tweet at us, leave a comment. Let us know if you liked it. Maybe there'll be future editions of Rich's Roundabout, Rich's Random Roundabout segment. But for now, that will wrap up the sports sampler. However, we still got regular segments coming up. We got the entertainment entree. Mike's gonna let you know on a big movie that he saw, actually. So. Yeah, this is the big.
Can you guess what it is?
Big movie review coming up in the entertainment entree. And then, of course, we got the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news after that. Still plenty more shows still to come. We will be right back.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
I have another random sound clip that I would like to play.
Okay.
And I think you'll get a kick out of this one. Because right now I'm addicted to Twin Peaks.
Right.
This is just a great sound clip from the main character who gets stuck in a casino.
Okay.
But he can only get this out.
Hello!
It actually has a variance. Hello!
Yeah, there's a little peak in the middle. Hello!
Right. Hello!
It's almost like a song. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds like a yodel.
Hello!
Yodel. Yeah, a little bit.
He needs to be on top of a mountain.
Hello!
A little bit, yeah.
Let's go to The Price is Right. Let's knock that, knock the guy off the cliff. No, we need to get Twin Peaks
play
on
some
there.
Of this guy.
Hello!
Yeah!
It does fit.
Hello!
It does!
Hello!
There you go. You got a new updated version of, what was it, Cliffhanger?
Yeah, but instead of calling it Cliffhangers, we call it Twin Peaks.
I tell you to take a break, but unfortunately it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. And everybody knows that in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news.
And let's start off with this one here in Georgia. Firefighters had to rescue several people who were trapped on the second floor of an apartment building after the apartment complex removed the only staircase.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean they removed a staircase? Oh, the apartment just decided to take the stairs away.
Right. No big deal.
While people were still up there.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
Hello!
That's Screaming actual out. Audio from the people yelling to the apartment manager.
Hello!
The lone staircase at the Maple Walk Apartments is the only way in and out of several homes on the second floor. Neighbors told Channel 2's Sophia Choi that they woke up to the stairs being removed and no way to get down.
Hello!
You know, like at the end of the year when we do the best excuses for getting out of work?
Yeah, this is a good one.
Hey, boss, they took my stairs. What do you mean they took your stairs? They took my stairs. They're gone.
Hello.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling, making sure that you have a fresh episode every Thursday. Make sure you subscribe to the iTunes feed or the Stitcher Radio feed, or you're just checking our website every Thursday morning, because every Thursday morning we got a fresh new episode full of news, crispy news goodness that you can feast on with your ears.
That's so weird.
Nah, man, I'm right to the point.
Yeah. Yeah, feast on. I was just imagining people like sticking food in their ears. Feast on it with their ears.
Yes. Well, the podcast, the Crispy Noodle Podcast, is a meal for your mind. So
that's right. And of course, all the meals for your mind are ingested through the ears.
Yes. Exactly. That's how it goes in. It's the most direct way.
Straight to the brain.
Right. It's a clear channel right to the brain. Bam.
Biology.
Yes, science. Well, this is the second part in the meal for your mind, the second course, if you will. Folks, it's time to begin the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Let's just talk about Rogue One.
X-Wings!
Death Star!
Grand Moff Tarkin!
TIE Fighters! Mon Mothma's back!
Princess Leia!
Admiral Akbar!
Oh, that was somebody else. That was a different Mon Calamari.
Alderaan!
AT-AT Walkers! We go back to Yavin 4. Remember the rebel base?
I clapped when I saw it.
I clapped when I saw Darth Vader.
AT-STs.
Lucasfilm logo. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but no title crawl. Oh, well.
I applauded it for being different.
It broke new ground.
And there you go. I gotta admit, this is actually pretty good from Red Letter Media. They pretty much have a minute clip of just this is what they think people who loved Rogue One must think. And I guess I'm in this camp, because I said when Rogue One first came out, I said I liked it better than The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I don't know,
and
man.
I think they might have destroyed my argument. I guess it's because
I applauded it for being
because I guess I pined for, you know, the classic trilogy and you know,
seeing all those connections,
right?
Like,
for me was really just amazing. But of course, Red Letter Media just knows how to just cut right to the core of BS.
Yeah, they have a knack for taking things down like that.
Yeah, so
knocking it down a peg.
I gotta commend them for on a Star Wars issue too. They kind of proved me wrong on this. Yeah.
So is Episode 7 better than Rogue One now? Because I've always liked Episode 7 better than Rogue
always.
One.
It came out 2 years ago.
I saw Seven and Rogue One, I thought Seven was better than Rogue One.
I like both. Why can't I just have both?
They're both very, very good.
And I really enjoyed Rogue One for what it was.
Yeah.
So that would be my. It's a cop out answer. I know.
This is a total cop out answer.
I liked both. But why can't I just enjoy both?
I'll accept it. You're a Star Wars fan.
Thank you.
You can't decide.
Thank you.
I know how hard it is for you. That'd be like if you're like, what's your favorite Lord of the Rings episode or movie? What's your favorite?
Yeah, Mike, what's your favorite Ring movie?
The third one is really good.
Okay, so there you go.
It wasn't that hard, actually.
Whatever. there you
it's
go.
It's complete disdain. I don't get it, man.
But anyway. I got to give props. Red Letter Media, they definitely shot holes in my argument. Because, yeah, that is pretty much, you know... It brings back a lot of emotions, and
yeah,
damn it.
I would argue that you could have the same argument for Episode 7. Yeah, the same argument for both of them. They both had like oh look, there's that thing, you know.
They broke new ground. I love that line.
I like the direction the new movies are going in. So
yeah, and you know what? Let's put it in the macro terms. I think we're all looking forward to The Last Jedi. I think this is going to be amazing. So
if you're not, then you're silly.
Right. So
stop being silly.
Christmas time is going to be great. A new Star Wars movie. Yes.
We both said yes.
Yes. Excellent. But now with that, let's move on to the next part in the entertainment entree. It's time for the part where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend in movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
All right, well, it might be, depending on what Mike says is coming out this weekend. What's coming out in theaters,
well, I don't think this is that shameful. First up, in theaters, we have
a reboot?
It's actually, no, it's not a reboot.
Ah!
So yeah, so if you're tired, if you have sequel fatigue, you have to go support the new movies that are coming out. This one especially, The Big Sick, is a new rom-com from producer Judd Apatow. I know people say rom-com, it's like, it's a rom-com. But Judd Apatow has a great legacy of making really good, heartfelt, funny comedies. And this one is no different. It's doing very well so far, 8.4 out of 10. Average rating on Rotten Tomatoes for 97% on the tomato meter. And that's out of 133 reviews. It's getting lots of great press so far. I have a little synopsis here. The Big Sick tells the story of a Pakistan-born aspiring comedian who connects with grad student Emily after one of his stand-up sets. However, what they thought would be just a one-night stand blossoms into the real thing, which complicates the life that is expected of Kumail by his traditional Muslim parents. When Emily is beset with a mystery illness, it forces him to navigate the medical crisis with her parents, who he's never met, while dealing with the emotional tug of war between his family and his heart. So it's a modern romance. It's heartfelt. It's funny. It has a unique twist to it. Instead of the traditional boy meets girl, you know, girl doesn't want boy, then they get back together in the end. It complicates matters. It makes it more relevant to modern society. So it looks like it's going to be very interesting. It's got great reviews so far. Go check out The Big Sick hitting theaters this weekend. If you're looking for something more traditional in theaters, however, you're definitely going to want to see this one. War for the Planet of the Apes is the latest movie in the Planet of the Apes reboot trilogy. And surprisingly, it's doing very well on Rotten Tomatoes with an 8.2 out of 10 average rating for 93%. That's out of 87 reviews. This is the third movie in the trilogy. Still following Caesar and his apes as they're forced into conflict with the human army. This time, from the trailers, it seems like they adopt a human girl and take her in as one of their own. So it seems like this is the big conflict that everybody's been looking forward to. The War for the Planet of the Apes is hitting theaters this weekend. Go check it out. However, the real big entertainment release this week is actually on the small screen on television, HBO, Sunday. We finally get the season 7 premiere of Game of Thrones. And if I was smart, I would have Game of Thrones music playing here, but I forgot. So instead...
Good job, Mike.
I know, I'm like, damn it, I messed up. That's okay. Because after... See, the reason why I forgot is because it's been so long since the previous season came out. Usually the seasons come out in, I think, April. This time, they've made us wait until July.
It's throwing us all off.
It's throwing us all off. We're all messed up. But it's finally back. Oh, there we go.
Yeah, see? There I saved go. You, Mike.
Thank you, Rich. You've got some amazing Google Foo over there. It is the long-awaited return of the multi-Emmy Award-winning gritty fantasy drama. It's the penultimate season. All the big storylines are finally colliding. For so long, characters have been at the opposite ends of this global conflict, opposite ends of the world, and finally all the strands are being pulled together in this season 7. Although it's shortened to just 7 episodes, reports are pouring in about extra-long episodes and a no-expense-to-spare-type production value for the upcoming war, featuring, of course, huge dragons and tens of thousands of soldiers ready to do battle for Westeros. It is going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it so much. Game of Thrones has never been more popular, and as we're wrapping up this historic series, there's never been a better time to get into it. I think Xfinity customers can actually stream all of Game of Thrones for free on demand right now before Season 7. So go check it out. Season 7 premieres this Sunday. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right,
Rich,
so
man,
there you go.
You're what a pal.
Yeah, see,
Thank you for saving my ass there.
There you go. No problem, man.
That was great. How could you say no to Game of Thrones with awesome, epic music like that?
I feel like I'm just so far behind. It's like it's not even.
To be fair, you're not saying no to it.
No.
It's just you're
because the way you the way you describe it to me is it just happens to be in a fantasy element,
right?
So
like, the people who don't like high fantasy, they get put off by the dragons. The dragons aren't even an issue until season 3.
Right. So
like they're non-existent for the first two seasons.
So it sounds to me like I would enjoy this series. I just haven't had the time. Like, but at this point, I might as well just wait till it all comes out and then like the next time I'm sick.
And just binge it all.
That's what I did with Breaking Bad. I literally did with Breaking Bad. I missed out on the original run of Breaking Bad.
This is what you do. When season 8 premieres, go around licking doorknobs.
Yes.
And then watch it all. That weekend after you are suffering from some horrible...
Yeah, near-death experience. Yeah.
Rich is like in like a weird fever state, and he's like, that part in Game of Thrones where they like were riding that rainbow was really weird. I'm like, Rich, what are you talking about?
Isn't that part of this?
Stop licking doorknobs, man.
How many doorknobs you got?
Doorknobs you got? Like, people are just carrying around a sack of doorknobs. You want brass or I don't know what else they make doorknobs out of.
Pretty much brass.
Pretty much brass. You want brass or more brass?
But I don't know. So I'm not anti Game of Thrones. It's just it's just
finding the time,
right?
Like,
and
with,
it just
like
seems
with any
like there's
series,
too much, and I might as well just wait till it's all done, and I binge watch it all one like weekend where I don't shave and just I come out and I look like one of the characters from Game of Thrones.
What year is it?
Jumanji. What year is it?
Have you seen the new trailers for that movie? By the way, sidetrack.
It's not
Jumanji.
No, it's not.
I don't know what it is, but it's like
video game Jumanji trying to be relevant in the
21st
century.
My problem isn't the fact that it's a video game version. My problem is the fact that they're taken to the other world when it's the other way around. The other world is supposed to be coming to us.
Yes. Thank you.
Like,
right.
I get that they're trying to change it and make it different, but what made Jumanji is the fact that it was the blending of that world with ours.
Right.
If they're going into that world, then why don't they just call it African Adventure?
Yeah.
Why call it Jumanji? It's like, it's just...
We need to make money.
It's just an Indiana Jones film with bad comedy.
Yes.
They're just going to a jungle and they're like escaping traps. Yes. It's not Jumanji.
You hit the nail right on the head. That's the biggest flaw.
Yeah. So I'll reserve judgment. It's got Jack Black in it. It's got The Rock in it. Right? Jack Black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a cast that...
Kevin Hart.
So it's a cast that I would like, but we'll see.
Right.
I don't have much hope for it, but we'll see.
Well, we'll leave that up to the final movie review. And speaking of movie reviews, we got a big one that we need to talk about here. This is a major one. It's hot off the presses. It is Mr. Plinkett's review of the Transformers movie.
Transformers 5, The Last Night, is the worst movie ever made. Where do I begin to tell you how much of a confusing mess this loud, obnoxious, terrible movie is? A movie that's made specifically for weird, confused Chinese people. Well, I'm just not going to bother. I gotta go now. Bye!
Yes! So there you go!
I think that's the only way you can review Transformers, whatever this is.
There you go. So there you go. That wraps up the biggest movie review that we get to talk about this week. I'm so glad we are done with movie reviews and everything. Let's move into our next topic. Isn't that right?
No, I think we're forgetting about one big release.
Oh, sorry.
That is, of course...
I'm sorry. Yeah, what? I forgot. I totally forgot. Slipped my mind.
Yeah, it slipped your mind. We're going to talk about it, Rich. We're going to talk about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, I know. You're a big Spider-Man
fan. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I know you lean more towards the Batman, but I think this Spider-Man will win you over.
You're right. The Batman.
The Batman. Well, isn't it the Batman?
Yes.
Yeah. Every hero and villain is secretly the whatever.
But Batman is really the Batman.
No, I'm actually serious, though.
I know, but I just love the
people
way
say Joker, but it's not Joker. It's the Joker.
Yes.
It's weird.
I just love the way you phrased it.
Yeah,
though.
The Batman.
Great. The Batman.
Anyway, I'm going to talk about The Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I saw the movie over the weekend, opening weekend. It was fantastic. The first thing that jumped out to me, though, was how much different this movie is from previous Spider-Man franchises. Right off the bat, they open up and they let you know, this is not Sony's Spider-Man. We know everybody knows their name is on the production plaque. This is a Marvel movie, okay? Marvel has put its death grip on this franchise, and they let you know loud and clear that this is now in their wheelhouse. They've taken complete creative control over this franchise, from the cameos to the tone of it to the pacing of it. Everything screams Disney Marvel Avengers-type movie. It's so tonally different than the Andrew Garfield films, where Andrew Garfield Spider-Man was trending more towards like the hip punk 21st century Spider-Man. This Spider-Man feels right at home alongside Captain America and Iron Man in terms of the vibe of it, the tone of it, the humor of it. It was a lot of fun from start to finish. It had people laughing the entire time, which is what Spider-Man is supposed to do. It's supposed to be campy. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, not
that's,
emo.
That's too campy, right. What it's supposed to be is it's supposed to be a young teen stumbling through trying to find his footing as a hero. And this movie hits that nail on the head. Tobey Maguire never seemed like a teen or inexperienced. Andrew Garfield, they like, oh, he's in high school, but he never really felt like a high schooler. This movie does a great job of showing you a 15, 16-year-old Peter Parker who just got done fighting in the Civil War, the Marvel Civil War. And he goes back home to Queens, and he's left wanting. He's like, he had a taste of the action. He had a taste of being a hero. How does he live up to Iron Man and Captain America? And the movie does a good job of showing you over and over again how big the shadows of those heroes are in this universe. And Peter Parker trying to live up to them, trying to overstep his abilities at the time. It does a really good job of showing you how Spider-Man fails again and again, which is a hallmark of his character. He's learning how to be a hero. He doesn't just step into the shoes and is automatically some god figure. He tries and he fails. It makes him relatable. It makes him interesting. And it makes him very human. And I think that is a huge success for this film where previous Spider-Man movies have failed. Overall, I absolutely love this movie. It was fantastic. They had so many great Easter eggs for Spider-Man fans, from Mac Gargan, the Scorpion, appearing in a cameo, to references to potential Sinister Six meetups later in the, the series. They did a good job of tying in the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. It was a really well-done movie. I got to give it a solid, probably 8 out of 10. And you know what? Most of the critics agree. Right now, it's got a 7.6 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes, a 93%. That's out of 226 reviews. So it's doing really, really well. Also, in terms of box office, grossed almost $270 million in its opening weekend, which is much better than the previous Spider-Man opening weekends, both the Tobey Maguire and the Andrew Garfield showings. So it's safe to say that Marvel has secured this franchise under its umbrella of creative properties. For so long, they've let it languish with Sony, and they were finally able to wrest control of it from them. And that's important for the future direction of the Marvel films. I feel like I'm just rambling now.
Well, no, that was going to be my follow-up question, was going to be, how does this Spider-Man movie tie in with the whole Marvel universe? I mean, the Avengers are going to be coming up on the big Infinity War.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen the movie yet, right. So I don't want to ask for spoilers, but
right.
Is Spider-Man tying in with this? Is Spider-Man going to be a part of the Infinity War?
So Spider-Man there's no reference to Infinity War in this movie as far as I could tell.
Okay.
They do mention the events in New York. They do mention the events in Civil War. So it definitely has a very heavy Marvel Cinematic Universe influence. But there were no references to Infinity War. The way that this franchise ties in, though, is really unique because Marvel Studio head Kevin Feige recently said that Avengers 4, which was originally Infinity War Part 2, now they're redoing the title, we don't know what it's going to be called, is marking the end of the original 22-film arc. But Spider-Man Homecoming, the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, will premiere 2 months after Infinity War Part 2, and that will usher in the aftermath of that movie and start a new era. So it seems like Marvel is really hoping that Spider-Man can be the next lead, like Iron Man was the lead for the original Phase 1. And I would love that. Look, Spider-Man is Marvel's biggest franchise. The original Marvel comic book, Spider-Man was like their big...
Okay. Yeah.
Some people would argue Captain America. I would argue that you're wrong.
okay.
Look, if you had to say who's more recognizable, Captain America or Spider-Man, it has to be Spider-Man.
Oh, wait. Just pure recognizable?
Yeah.
Captain America is pretty big. I think you're underestimating Captain America.
I think you're underestimating the fact that Spider-Man was huge in the 90s and early 2000s. Captain America wasn't even on the radar for the longest time.
But in terms of, I don't know, the way you phrased it, I don't know.
Maybe now Captain America is more recognizable, but traditionally Spider-Man was always...
How about this? In terms of pure mass media... It would be Spider-Man.
Oh,
Spider-Man had the TV show, had the video games, had
the comics,
right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Spider-Man was always Marvel's like leading figure. Like Batman was, you know, Batman and Superman were DC's leading heroes. It was Spider-Man and X-Men were like the big, the big franchises for Marvel.
Okay,
so Marvel is excited to get that franchise back, and it looks like they're going to really. Lean heavily on it. And this is important because all the contracts for the original Avengers are set to expire.
Right. This is the thing that I'm getting goosebumps with. So, when the Downey contract's over with and Evans is done with.
It's not just Downey and Evans. It's Downey, Evans, Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, Chris Hemsworth. They're all set to expire.
All those heroes from the first Avengers, they're going to get
it was that
out.
Original 6-7 movie deal
right.
That's now running out.
Right.
And, you know, it's not just that they're running out, but several of them have also said, like, especially Downey and I think Evans and Hemsworth have said that they don't want to do any more movies. So it seems like...
They got to start thinking for the future.
Exactly. And what I think would make sense narratively... And in terms of managing the franchises, is they all die in Infinity War. They have to sacrifice themselves or they retire or whatever. They suffer catastrophic injuries. They have to retire. And Spider-Man takes on the role of the new Avengers, and he brings up the next class of Avengers. It would fit with his character and in wanting to live up to that and then eventually achieving that and having to do that growing, like Iron Man had to do that growing in order to be the leader of, or one of the leaders of, the current Avengers. So that's the track that I think they're taking. And I think that Spider-Man at one point led the new Avengers in the actual comics. So it makes sense.
So there's precedence, yeah.
There's precedence, yeah. That's what I think the direction will be. Because I don't know who else would lead the Avengers if all those contracts expire.
Okay.
None of the original cast is coming back.
What about, like, Guardians of the Galaxy? Do they have anything?
Well, it would be weird to have the Guardians of the Galaxy be in two superhero teams, Guardians of the Galaxy and the Avengers. Then it's like they're just stealing screen real estate. Not only that, but Spider-Man blew Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I don't know about box office totals, but I saw both movies this summer, and Spider-Man was much better. Much better than Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
I think. Now, granted, I have the Spider-Man bias.
Yeah.
So, you know, I see the little Easter eggs. I'm like, oh, yeah, that Matt Gargan, he's going to be the Scorpion in the next movie, you know? That's not a spoiler.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, so the guy kept on calling himself the Shocker, you know, reference to another. Don't laugh. You sick son.
Can't help it. Really? The guy's name is the Shocker?
Yes. Yes, okay. His name is Shocker, Rich.
Okay, all right.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
All right. The Shocker.
Coming at you, ladies. So. Destroying my childhood.
Sorry.
So I have the Spider-Man bias. So you have to factor that in.
Front part of his costume's pink. Oh, the back part is brown.
Stop it. Stop it, Rich. You're destroying my childhood. It's yellow and red.
Oh, okay. All right. Whatever you say.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad name for a villain, though.
Yeah. Should have thought of that. But
anyway, yeah.
Spider-Man.
So, Spider-Man was a huge success for Marvel. I really, really recommend it. Rich, I know you're not a big Spider-Man fan, but I think you should go see it.
Yeah, I mean, I eventually will, because, you know, it's part of the whole Marvel universe, so will see it at some point. Yeah.
There's no mistaking the fact that it's a Marvel universe movie now.
I feel like I don't have time in the week. Like, I'm just, like, losing time. Yeah. So, at some point, I will.
That's what happens when you get older.
God damn it. Well, you know what else too? When you get older, sometimes you feel like you don't want to do the same routine anymore. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's appropriate for our next topic, because we're going to talk just a smidge about the Bond franchise, and the reason why is because there was some controversy at the end of shooting Spectre was it two years ago? It's now 2 years ago. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my sense of time.
That also happens with age.
Yeah, right?
It's 2015.
Right.
Is when it came out.
Also, what am I doing here? What is this podcast? Who's recording me?
No.
I know. But anyway, Daniel Craig reportedly made a lot of wild statements saying that he didn't want to do another Bond movie. In one famous interview, he said that he would rather slash his wrist than do another Bond film after finishing Spectre because it was so intensive.
That's pretty extreme.
But apparently time heals wounds, and so does money, I think.
Yeah.
Because Daniel Craig has reportedly signed on to a contract to star in one more Bond movie. So everyone in the Bond universe, my fellow Bond fans, you can all relax. Daniel Craig will be coming back for one more Bond outing. I think it's good news for everybody. I think Daniel Craig's not done yet. I think there is, you know, some history left that he could do with the Bond franchise. It'll also be his fifth Bond movie, which puts him above Pierce Brosnan. So he's moving up now, really, in the lore of fellow Bonds.
Yeah, and I think, you know, more than that, I think this is the first Bond that really attained such a big pop culture status. Like, James Bond has always been big in pop culture, but, like, now people that would never watch James Bond are watching James Bond.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig and the director did that.
Right. To me, it's always interesting to analyze the Bond films, because the Bond films always seem to be a reaction to whatever is popular.
Right.
And the thing that marks Daniel Craig differently is the Daniel Craig movies are a reaction to the very realistic spy movies like The Bourne Identity and stuff like that. It's a complete switch to go more in that realistic sense. I mean, you look at some of the topics that Craig deals with in his movies. You know, who do you trust?
Right.
How does new technology outdate the classic spy profession?
Yeah.
How does stuff like the NSA, you know, affect the world spying scene? And it just seems to be that his movies have just had a really good amount of quality to it, and the themes have been really superb. I'm glad he's doing one more.
Yeah, I'm glad as well. I think I've seen all the Daniel Craig Bond films, which is strange because up to that point I've only seen like two or three of them.
Right, you haven't seen any of them.
So, you know, he keeps me coming back because his films are, I feel, more mature, more grounded.
Right.
Than James. So James Bond is, I mean, it's wish fulfillment, right? Every girl wants him. Every guy wants to be
right,
him.
Right. The early Bonds are supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah. It's
the
just
male fantasy.
Right. Exactly. These newer Bond movies, I think, is a reaction to the modern mindset of like wanting more realistic, grounded heroes and experiences. I mean,
right.
Look at all the major entertainment franchises that are really popular now. You know, everything is dark and gritty and more mature. It's less about wish fulfillment and more about like entertaining the darker sides of our minds and society.
Right. And I think that's something that they tap in with the current line of films from Daniel Craig era from Craig on.
Especially Skyfall. Like Skyfall was a complete departure.
Right. Skyfall doesn't even seem like a Bond movie at points.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it, I think, a really good Bond movie. It goes to new areas in the Bond universe.
So, well, hopefully we'll see another one like that. I think Spectre took a little bit of a stumble.
A little bit, yes.
But, you know, maybe they just need a little bit of time, a little bit of, reset.
I think that was part of the problem, too, was Skyfall was so big and so monumental that the movie studios were like, we need to put another one out. We need to get another one out. And they kind of rushed Spectre.
Right.
And then not only did that ruin the quality of Spectre, it also ruined Daniel Craig just like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do another one. This is crazy.
Yeah. So Skyfall came out in 2012, Spectre came out in 2015. So you're looking at a 3-year turnaround, which is pretty fast. We're already up to 2 years now, between the last James Bond movie and
now
the current time. So, you know, hopefully they give it some time to rest and hopefully they don't churn one out as soon.
Yeah.
You know, just give it a little bit more breathing room.
Right. I think early dates say that they might shoot for either 2019 or 2020, so.
And that's better than a 3-year turnaround, I think.
Right. So, good news in the world of Bond enthusiasts. Daniel Craig coming back for at least one more film. That sounds about right. That'd be 5 films he would put in the franchise. Pretty solid outing.
Yeah. Where does that rank him all time? Third?
Because Connery had 6 and Moore had 7.
Okay.
At least official Bond films. Because there's always that one, Never Say Never Again, that we never talk about. But anyway, so that would put Craig at 3rd. So if he sticks with that. But there you go. Rejoice, Bond fans. Craig is back for one more film. And for us, we will rejoice because that will wrap up the entertainment entree. And we rejoice again because coming up next, it will be the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. I got a couple of interesting stories that you need to hear. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
That's like a skill. We need to teach patience in school.
It's just a class where you sit there for an hour.
Yeah.
You just sit there for an hour.
We need something like that, because these kids don't know how to... kids don't know how to not do nothing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. Except the fact that we sound like really old people.
Back in my day,
we waited 5 minutes to play
a
flippy flashy game.
A flippin' flash game.
And we didn't have the curse words you whippersnappers have nowadays.
Yeah, we had to invent our own.
Yeah.
Like frickin'.
And sugar honey iced tea. I hope I don't embarrass my sister.
Oh,
but
no.
We did have the incident. One of the kids dropped the F-bomb.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like,
boy.
I was kind of expecting, like, it would go in, like, a scale of intensity. Like,
it
I
would
thought,
start small, like, damn.
Right.
Like, you'd hear them under their breath, like, oh, damn.
Yeah. This one, I'm not going to say which one it is, but this one went right to the F-bomb.
Wow.
And he said, like, F you. I was like, oh, my God.
Listen here!
Yeah, like...
You probably just would have laughed and been like, right on!
I kind of did when I heard the story. And my poor sister's like, that's not funny! when you curse in front of your parents.
For the very first time, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the world, and now we sit around dinner, F this! My mom's going to hate me for that. And the funny thing is, the kids learn it from the parents. That's where I first learned it. Now my mom's really going to kill me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on. Uh-oh. Come on, you know. You know, where
don't
did
you drag me into this?
Where did you first
don't
hear?
Don't you drag me into this?
Where did you first hear your curse words?
Probably my dad.
There you go. It's always the parents.
Bruno's here, our associate producer.
He's got something to add.
What story?
I have something to add.
Okay.
Mom said she overheard you.
Uh-oh.
I might have to bleep this out, but she said, F you.
No, wait. What was I saying, Rich? What was I saying?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, two-thirds of the show in the books, but there's still one more part in this meal for your mind, and I think we would both say this is probably the best part. There's some wacky stuff coming ahead.
Oh, yeah, this is always one of my favorite parts of the show. It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining, non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay! what does that mean?
And now, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So, sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. Let out a primal scream. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. For those of you that might not be familiar with this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me, so that this is my first time experiencing them. It means that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down strange and new paths, new stories, new perspectives.
Yes.
Yes.
New everything.
New everything, yes.
Let me start off with this story first, because this one you might actually heard of, Mike.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you're curious, because usually we don't cover religion.
Okay.
But this is...
What are you talking about? Like, once a month, somebody claims that they're God,
well,
and that's why they need to steal a Snickers.
Well, not in that way. But usually we don't talk about religion head on.
Right.
But this news story is just so... I think it's so ridiculous we have to talk about it.
Okay.
Because bread... This is official. This came from the Vatican and Pope Francis himself. This is official. bread that is used to celebrate the Eucharist during Roman Catholic Mass, it is official. It cannot be, quote, gluten-free. Yeah, that is absolutely
okay.
No go.
Why does it have to have gluten in it?
Apparently,
it's like a thin, tasteless wafer.
Yeah, apparently.
But it has to have gluten.
It must have some form of gluten in it.
Did Jesus have gluten in him?
That's in Luke chapter 3.
Luke chapter 3. Yes. And Jesus said, I am
gluten.
He wasn't very enthusiastic
I am your
Lord,
that day.
Gluten Christ.
He wasn't very enthusiastic that day. Yeah, it was a rough day.
Yeah. I am gluten.
Just get me that damn bread.
Yeah. His blood sugars were low. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure what gluten is. I know everything is gluten-free now. Gluten's like in everything, isn't it?
In a letter to bishops, Cardinal Robert Serra, speaking on behalf of Pope Francis in the Congregation for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments.
Oh, they need a better title.
What a job title.
Yeah.
Discipline of the Sacraments. Okay.
Jeez.
All right.
Sounds
so
serious.
He said that the bread can be low gluten,
okay,
but there must be, quote, enough protein in the wheat to make it.
What?
Yeah, when did...
You're telling me there's real food ingredients in those things? I highly doubt that.
When did these cardinals all of a sudden, like, become scientists? Oh, there must be enough protein.
What's the nutritional value of Eucharistic wafers?
Is there a nutritional facts that come to the side the wafers?
I'm searching for nutritional value of Eucharist. I want to see what I can find on this.
The cardinal says that these new rules are, quote, needed because simple bread without gluten is now sold in supermarkets. And some churches believe they can use that for the bread, which is served at Eucharist, which is supposed to be converted into the body of Christ through transubstantiation.
You're just throwing out terms that nobody has any idea what they mean. Like, we know because we went for 12 years.
It must have gluten in it. In the same letter, it also says, though, that the bread can also be made from genetically modified organisms.
Hold on. Wait one second. They're growing these things in Petri dishes, but it's got to have gluten in it.
Yeah. No, if it's no gluten, no God. That should be the new tagline. No gluten,
no God. I love it. That's the church's slogan for 2017.
Come on.
No gluten, no God.
Pope Frank, I just invented your marketing
just
campaign.
Call him Pope Frank?
Yeah.
We're Pope Frank.
Yo, Pope Frank, what's up? How you doing?
Pope Frank.
Pope Frankie, yeah. I just came up with your tagline here.
Oh, my gosh.
No gluten, no God.
It's so weird, though, because... Oh, I don't understand. So is Jesus genetically modified then?
I guess Jesus is allowed to be genetically modified as long as he has low gluten. Whatever the hell sense that makes. I just have no clue at this point.
I have no idea.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
As long as he has gluten, our God is high gluten. He's made of GMOs. He tastes so, so good. As long as he has gluten.
Wow. That's great.
I don't understand this at all. How can you say yes GMO, no to gluten free?
The Vatican. I don't know.
The Vatican.
I don't know what, yeah. I don't know how they come up with this.
Like, they had to sit down and hash this out.
Yeah, this is an official
letter. And somebody
letter.
Was really passionate about gluten. They're like, no, I love my gluten. I don't care if it's made in a Petri dish, but I love my gluten.
It needs
to have gluten.
All right? Screw the people that are allergic
because
to it.
Otherwise, what is the biblical reason that it has to have
right.
gluten?
Gluten is just the thing that was, like, just found out, like, 10 years ago.
Why can't they just make Jesus into nutritional paste? Like, why does it have to be a wafer?
Space paste?
Because didn't he say bread? Wafer ain't bread. You're already breaking the rules, right?
Well, here's something else, too, that we need to worry about, too. Because there's also a statement about wine.
Okay.
That's very important to me.
All right.
The letter also says that, quote, the wine that is used to be the blood of Christ must also be, quote, natural, quote, from the fruit of the grape, and, quote, pure and incorrupt. I've never heard of
what
a wine.
Are they talking about
being corrupt or incorrupt?
You go to a restaurant, you're like, excuse me, is this wine corrupt? And the waiter's just like, dude, it's just a red wine.
It's just wine.
It's
drink
just
it.
Wine.
It'll make you feel better.
Once you have a couple of glasses, you won't know whether it's corrupt or not. Wait, it has to be not corrupted? What does that mean?
Incorrupt. Pure and incorrupt.
How do you even check that? How do you even know? Where are they getting their wine from?
I guess they don't get it at the state store here in Pennsylvania.
You mean they're not buying like $2 bottles? Wine in a bag, wine in a box.
Look, Padre, we could save money here. Wine in a box.
That's what I mean. Like, you know that's definitely what they buy. Right? What else? Where are they getting their wine from? There's no, like, Jesus wine distillery.
Yeah,
like the Vatican has a vineyard. I've been to the Vatican. They definitely don't have a vineyard. So they're buying their wine from somebody.
The Vatican vineyard.
The Vatican vineyard. Yes. Yeah.
Get your wine from the Vatican vineyard. Natural. From the fruit of the grape.
No jokes, though.
Pure and incorrupt. Excellent taste.
Oh, the Vatican.
you see, we need some Orson Welles in this.
Ah, the French Vatican. Champagne has always been celebrated corrupted for its excellence.
the Vatican.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes.
That wasn't the direction I was going to take it, but it just struck me like lightning. I was like, yes. Orson Welles should do a Vatican Vineyards. Also, the alliteration. The point I was going to make is that would make real money. Vatican Vineyards?
Yes. It sounds like God's plan.
It is God's plan.
By the way, this is all legit if you want to look this up. This is from Cardinal Robert Serra of the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments, which is in authority through the request of Pope Francis. So this is all legit. There's going to be gluten in your Eucharist, whether you like it or not. So
you can buy communion wafers online. I'm sorry. I totally didn't pay attention to like the last two sentences you said.
Sorry.
Because I was busy shopping for communion wafers.
Your search
history. What is happening?
Your search history.
It's Kavanaugh priest altar bread.
So they already have a corner mark, the market corner on.
You can get
wafers.
A box of 50. For $7.50, you can put a price on Jesus. I'm going straight to hell.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Now, wait. Here they have from St. Jude's shop, you get altar bread, white or wheat.
Is that gluten?
I don't know.
The key is it can't be gluten-free.
What if I search gluten-free communion wafers?
No gluten, no God. All right, that's
gluten-free
the key.
Gluten-free communion wafers. You can buy them. You get a box of 200 for $13.
It's not legit. Those are counterfeit.
They look like potato chips.
It's potato.
I'm pretty sure it's just a potato chip.
Potato chip Jesus.
Potato chip Jesus. It's like some edgy 90s Jesus.
Our God is an awesome God.
That's like the Big Lebowski version of Jesus.
Jesus.
You know, whatever, man.
Ooh, Amazon.
Hey, it was Prime Day. Maybe,
it was Prime Day.
Energy
Foods.
Maybe you could get some deals. Some Prime Day Eucharist deals.
Okay, here we go. Energy Foods Communion Wafers, gluten-free. You can get a 3-pack for $33.
There you go.
I'm just amazed that you can buy this stuff.
Yeah, there you go. But make sure there's gluten in it.
Well, yeah, this one's gluten-free, so this one isn't the real Jesus.
Right, that's fake Jesus.
Fake Jesus?
That's a fake Jesus.
We are going straight to hell. I just want to point out that this is sold by God's 411.
What? The name of the company is God's 411?
Yeah, but it's fulfilled by Amazon, so you know who...
Oh, okay. So you know who's actually doing the work.
It's actually Prime eligible. If you need... I had no idea. Like, I always... I don't know what I thought. I guess I thought, like, priests just had, like, a never-ending supply of these things.
Just got mailed in from the
Vatican. The Vatican just ships them out, like, every week. But it makes sense that you have to buy them from somewhere. So can you... You can just buy this stuff. Love, our God is an
awesome God. Yeah, if you just want to have your own ceremony, I guess.
I'm sorry. We probably took a lot longer on that than you intended. But yeah, I'm just amazed at the fact that...
It's important. Asking the important questions here.
Exactly. Gluten-free Jesus.
Yeah. All right. How about we do... I'm ready for some Florida news. After that craziness, yeah, let's go to Florida. Yeah.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this one here first.
Picking a good one over there?
Yeah. A Florida couple was having sex in public around 3 in the morning on Monday morning when a officer interrupted their tryst, which was taking place right outside of a closed business in Largo, Florida.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That makes sense. Pretty standard for Florida.
45-year-old...
I'm surprised it wasn't like 4 in the afternoon.
3 in the morning. 45-year-old Tabitha Lehman and 46-year-old Craig Shoeless.
Shoeless?
No, it's not Shoeless. It's There's S-C-H. Shoeless? I don't know. Damn it. You try and read that top one.
The top one?
Yeah. Shoeless.
Oh, my gosh. Schulfeis. Schulfeis?
Schulfeis?
That's Schulfeis, right?
Schulfeis?
I don't know. That is a weird name.
Yeah. Anyway.
Call him Shoeless.
Shoeless. All right. Well, anyway, they were not pleased to be interrupted by Officer Logan Ward, who reported spotting both defendants, quote, naked from the waist down, and performing sexual activities on each other.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Why is it performing sexual activities and not just having sex?
Because we got to be formal in the police report.
Ah, okay. More syllables means more intelligence.
And we're going to get really formal here.
Okay.
Because explained that, quote, look, officer, I'm just trying to get a piece of ass over here.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
That's the most honest excuse ever in the odd news.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
And for her part, Tabitha Lehman also declared that, quote, go away, I'm going to get eaten out.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
No shame.
That's amazing.
Boy, man.
Go away, I'm going to get eaten out.
No shame at all.
No, none at all. I think once you cross the border to Florida, you have to turn in your shame. There's like a place where you go to hand it in.
It's right on the border.
It's right on the border, yeah. Shame collection agency.
Alcohol played a role in the pair's public display of affection, which...
It played a role. It's like it wasn't the cause of it. It just played a small part.
Yeah. Which resulted in the arrest of Lehman and Shoeless. Their charge was exposure of sexual organs. They were released from jail later that Monday. So
they weren't even in jail a whole day.
No, but at least they were that honest, you know.
Yeah, that's probably why they got out so fast.
Just trying to get a piece of ass over here. All right,
let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
I feel like you have to reward honesty.
Let's do the complete opposite of that. Let's do this one here.
Okay.
A Sarasota officer stopped a driver who was driving in reverse and who discovered a variety of drugs right on the dashboard.
You gotta at least hide them.
Yeah.
Gotta try.
Make it at least, you know, somewhat difficult.
Right.
Around 10:15 p.m. on Saturday night, Sarasota police officers responded to investigate a 911 call. When officers arrived, they saw 26-year-old Summer Lemieux. fancy name there.
Summer Lemieux.
Yeah, Summer Lemieux. Yeah.
It's a very French.
I think this is where you need Orson Welles to come in.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
When officers arrived, they saw 26-year-old Summer Lemieux driving in reverse all down Goodrich Avenue. They stopped her and asked her why she was driving in reverse, and she responded by simply saying, "What? Is this illegal?" I thought this was America.
Is this illegal? Yes. Yes, it is.
I thought I'm allowed to drive in reverse wherever I want to. If I can drive forward, why can't I drive backwards?
That's right. Yeah. Why even put reverse on the car if you can't drive backwards?
Exactly. I mean, you know what? It's actually the car manufacturer's fault.
That's right. They should sue the car manufacturers.
They put reverse on there.
How dare you give me the ability to back up? This illegal? Oh, man. Okay. That's just insane.
When you see
every other car going in a certain direction, you're like, I'm going to go the other direction.
Yeah, I'm unique.
I'm special. He's tearing down the road in reverse.
When they had her out of the car, that's when officers found marijuana right on the dashboard and then discovered 3 grams of cocaine, prescription pills, a smoking pipe, suspected hash THC oil, weight scales, and drug paraphernalia. So she was loaded up.
She had a whole lab in there.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Lemieux was charged with multiple felonies, including, this is a long list too, so get ready.
Okay.
Possession of marijuana within 1,000 feet of a church, possession of cocaine within 1,000 feet of a church.
Shocker.
2 counts of a possession of a controlled substance and a traffic citation.
Wow. Seven charges. Nice.
Yeah. All in one Saturday night.
Man. That's...
Just by driving backwards.
Just by... Yeah. You know. Totally innocent and innocuous.
Yeah. And I got one more Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Florida police caught and arrested a Deltona man who groped a woman's breast at a Deltona post office and has a history of exposing himself to women in public.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, it sounds like a Florida person.
Yep. 29-year-old Walter Youngle was reported grabbing a woman's breast at the Deltona post office. Boy, man, yeah. Nothing gets me hotter than the mail.
Yeah. Being forced to wait in line for stamps. Whew, man.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
What type
of person are you? They're like, oh, I better go drop off this important mail. Oh, I'll grab a quick handful of boob while I'm there.
Yeah. Two-for-one deal.
The post office is running a special.
They're desperate to do the mail. Free stamp.
Ship a package and get a free handful of boob.
Every stamp comes with a free pasty.
Oh, my gosh.
According to police reports, he was walking around the parking lot laughing and then ran up behind a woman and grabbed her chest.
Okay.
Honk, honk.
Thank you for the sound effects, in case we were confused.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Nothing kills the mood like a honk, honk.
Not for this guy. He loves the
post office. That gets him going. Also, why was he just roaming around the parking lot laughing?
This guy's crazy.
Buddy. Like, if I were approaching a parking lot and there was just a dude walking in circles laughing hysterically, I would just nope right out of there. That dude's insane.
So, all right, so this was part one. Then deputies learned that he also decided to expose himself to women at a local Subway.
Okay.
Oh, man, now we're doing the sandwiches. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
At Subway, a man who fit Jungle's description was hanging around and watching female employees. The employees noted that he was a frequent visitor, but he never bought anything.
That's creepy.
Oh, so that guy's cheap, too.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You got to at least buy... Look, if you're going to flash the female employees, you got to at least buy something.
Yeah, man. Come on. Help him
out. It's like using the bathroom at a place and not buying anything.
Yeah. An employee then reported to the cops that the man exposed his genitalia there. That also is not the end. There was also a report
this guy's been busy.
Yeah. Yeah. There was also a report that he also went to a Circle K.
Okay.
Where a woman reported that a man matching his description was touching himself in front of the building.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
She was able to identify a mugshot of the suspect, Walter Jungle, to police. She positively identified him. Jungle was eventually found when his own brother tipped police.
His brother was getting tired of driving him around all these places.
Oh, God. You know what? Screw it. 911. Take him. So, yeah, his brother tipped police off as to where he was going to later that night. Jungle was taken into custody with a $105,000 bond on charges of felony battery and stalking.
Wow. You said $105,000?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm surprised he got the battery charge.
Yeah.
He didn't hit anybody in the story.
I don't think so.
You know what?
It just surprised me because we read some of these stories and it's like, oh, he killed 100 people and his bail was $500. You know? And, I mean, yeah, like you shouldn't grope people, but $105,000. We've read stories where people have done much worse and gotten much less.
Well, you know what? I think everybody in Florida has had enough of this guy.
Yeah, they're just forget it.
I mean, he's at the post office. He's at the Subway. He's at the Circle K.
People doing their daily errands just have an impossible time navigating around this guy.
Yeah, they had enough of this guy.
Yeah.
Lock him up.
We're getting tired of this fool. Lock him up.
$105,000 bail. How do you like that? All right. Done with Florida, but I have a couple more stories left. Let's do, you know what? Love is in the air. Why not? We got to have a good love story every now and then.
Okay.
And this is romantic. I mean, where else are you going to propose to the love of your life than an odd news story, and especially this one in Oklahoma?
Oh, man.
Because
I can't think of a more boring state.
Because cops...
Oh, wait, Oklahoma. I didn't sing the song. No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Well, cops in Muskogee, Oklahoma, said that they arrested 35-year-old Brandon Thompson on the 4th of July... on 6 felony warrants.
Wow.
But when they put him in the car, that's when he made an unusual request. He asked the officers to take pity on him and allowed him to ask his girlfriend for her hand in marriage.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold on, officers. I got one more thing I got to do.
That's so bad.
One more thing.
Can I just propose real quick?
This is lovely. Oh, man.
Why would she say yes? This dude is about to go to jail, and you're like, yeah, sure, I'll marry you. Did she say yes?
Police body camera footage shows the encounter happening. Thompson tells his girlfriend, Leandra Keith, quote, I love you. Will you be my wife, please? Keith agrees.
Wow.
And an officer decides to switch Thompson's handcuff from the back to the front. So he can place the engagement ring in his pocket on her finger. Wow.
This is like some...
She said yes.
This is like some weird, like backwoods Disney romance.
It is Muskogee, Oklahoma.
What type of town is Muskogee?
I don't know. This is where you get arrested and you still get married. While the couple now appear to have, for better or worse, down pat... it's yet to be seen if marriage is the only institution in their immediate future. The groom-to-be was taken to the county jail to face multiple charges, including possession of a firearm by a felon, possession of a controlled substance, and failure to appear in court. That's why he's got the felony warrants on him.
Okay.
And guess what? Boy, is this romantic? The fiancé rallied up some bail money and got him out on bail money. Oh, man. Is that true love?
That is true love right there.
Oh, man.
Nothing says true love like bailing your significant other out of jail.
Yeah. Man. I'm heart-stricken
it's just,
here.
Yeah, it just fills your heart with hope for the future. I don't know. Why would you agree to marry somebody who's in the process of being arrested?
Yeah.
Like, should that be a red flag? They talk about red flags. Like, oh, what's a red flag? The fact that your soon-to-be fiancé is actually getting arrested while he's proposing. That's a red flag.
Yeah, apparently not in Oklahoma.
No, apparently there it's a green flag.
It's a green flag?
And all, we are go, people.
All systems go. He's got a ring. Okay.
He's got a ring. Okay. So you're saying I just can go to Oklahoma and hand any random woman like a 25-cent ring out of one of those vending machines.
Sure.
And boom. Got a wife.
There you go. It's the green flag.
It's the green flag. Oh, he's got a ring. I don't know.
Yeah.
My whole career, I've always done better than anybody else. Only because of one reason. I was born with a golden spoon.
Imagine how far you get with a golden spoon.
In Oklahoma, you would own the state with a golden spoon.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, and I got one more story here for you.
Okay.
And something like this is just, I know it's a headache for the people that are working, but I love imagining stuff like this. Because in Britain, we're going to Britain for our last story.
Okay, jolly old Britain.
An adult theme song has been played on a local radio station in a series of rogue pirate broadcasts.
Okay.
Mansfield 103.2 FM has reportedly been targeted 8 times in the past month. And instead of listening to regular programming, the person that is hacking the signal is just replaying a song called The Wanker Song by Ivor Biggin. Are you ready to hear what's been playing over and over?
Okay. Oh, we actually have the song?
Oh, yeah. I pulled it up, of course. Right. You don't think I wouldn't?
I should know better.
Yes. So here it is. This is what's been playing over and over again on Mansfield 103.2 FM.
Okay.
My mother said that I never should play with the naughty, rude girls in the wood. Their giggling talk I could never understand, and that's why I fell in love with my right hand. And that's why I'm a wanker, I'm a wanker, and it does me good like it bloody well should. I'm a wanker, I'm a wanker, and I'm always pulling my pud. I was 25 years old before I was kissed, and then I found that I preferred a swift one off the wrist. It's cheap and convenient, you can't catch
BD.
It's available at any time, and it's absolutely free. And that's why I'm a wanker, I'm a wanker, and it does me good like it bloody well should. I'm a wanker, I'm a wanker, and I'm always pulling my pud. Oh, Mrs. Pond and your 5 lovely daughters, thank you for having me and being oh so kind. I've got pains in my arms and my donkey's growing shorter. My knees have turned to water and I think I'm going blind.
And there you go.
Wow.
That's been playing over and over again on this pirate broadcast.
That's awesome. That was the best. That was the best song ever. Are we even allowed to play that?
I'm going to submit it. So here's the story behind it. Station manager Tony Delahunty said that the latest occasion was last Sunday when a live interview was interrupted by the song playing.
That's great.
He says that, quote, a lot of people in the industry can't believe how difficult it is to stop these people. The first time we reported it to the police, they couldn't catch him in the act, so the person must be using a mobile transmitter. The guy, Ivor Biggin, the creator of the song,
right,
is fronted by Robert Docks Cox, who's best known for BBC's TV's That's Life program. Mr. Delahunty said that communications regulations Ofcom has tried to track the offender on three separate occasions, but has been unsuccessful. So whoever's doing this obviously has a good knowledge of how to fight.
And they're really committed, too.
Yeah.
Like, this is multiple times.
Eight times.
And yeah, and it's always, like, moving around, and you can't trace it. Like, this is somebody actively, like, this is somebody that has a vendetta against this station,
right.
It seems.
Well, I hope he doesn't get caught anytime soon, because Ofcom has announced that the person who will be charged for this crime will face the crime of interference with a terrestrial broadcast, which is a criminal act that carries 2 years in prison.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, this is serious for whoever's doing it. They better either keep doing it very carefully or stop, because...
Yeah, but in the meantime...
I don't know if it's worth 2 years in prison.
It's hilarious.
But yeah, it is to hear this song over and over again. But
I bet the audience loves it. It's a funny song.
It is.
I don't think it's that dirty.
No, it's not. Either. It's just the references you make from it.
Right. The insinuations.
Right. The words itself aren't bad.
No, yeah, the words are fine.
Yeah.
Like I don't think that would get flagged for anything. But the insinuation is definitely there, and it's hilarious.
Right.
I'm so happy that... I know it sucks for the radio station. Like, they're like, you know, oh, we can't catch this guy. At the same time, though, it's amazing.
Yes. Yes. So there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap this one up, let's go over all that we've learned. It's time for What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned what my new favorite song is.
Yeah.
What's it called? I'm a Wanker?
I'm a Wanker by Ivor Big Gun.
There you go. Perfect.
Make sure you remember that.
It's funny. It's honest. It's got all the hallmarks of a number one hit single. Perfect.
Yeah, why didn't it chart higher?
I don't know. People are weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of weird people, though, I learned that you can get a wife in Oklahoma just by handing a random ring to a random person.
Yeah, sure.
It's as simple as that.
Do you really need anything else?
In Oklahoma, I don't think so.
You can get arrested and still get married.
Yeah. And you pointed out that if you have a golden spoon, you can just do whatever you want there. There you go.
Be a pimp.
You can be a pimp with your one golden spoon.
Right.
They call me one spoon.
They call me golden spoon.
They call me golden spoon. You know, gold finger, golden eye, I'm golden spoon.
Golden spoon.
There you go. I also... Maybe you can use that golden spoon to buy communion wafers with Amazon Prime.
Yes.
You can get communion wafers in the mail.
Mike is about to.
I kind of want to see what it's like to buy communion wafers. Like, what does the packaging look like? You know, is it just like a box? Do they do like a nice presentation?
Is
like,
Jesus on it?
How does it taste? Can you eat them like snacks?
Is there gluten?
Is there gluten?
There must be gluten.
That's right. It has to be.
That's something I've learned. No gluten, no God.
That's right.
Rich area.
Richly Big and the Church, 2017.
Yes. All right.
No gluten, no God.
We are dead serious.
You should submit that to the church's social media team.
Yeah.
Does the church have a social media team?
I probably do.
It's just one old priest that's like, how do you use the Twitters?
That's it. That's all the priest does.
Just
blows raspberries.
Just sits there doing that the whole day. Like, what do they pay you for?
I don't know. Is this Twitter?
Is this Twitter? That's Twitter right there. That's how you Twitter. Oh my God. So, I also learned finally that Jesus is genetically modified.
Apparently.
Jesus can have GMOs, but he has to have gluten.
That's right.
So that's what I've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and there you go. That will wrap up another interesting episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yep.
Gotta love these odd news stories, man. It's like I said, I always say this. Every week, I think we hit like a new low, and just now it just keeps getting lower.
It just keeps getting lower and lower.
Just, it's great, and I love it.
So we hit the core of the earth.
We're going to keep going.
No, we keep going straight through.
Yeah, we're going to keep going past that. If you like what you heard, and you want to join us on our journey to dig as low as we can,
grab a shovel.
Grab a shovel and join us. Make sure you go to thecrispynoodle.com. Check out all of our episodes and everything that we do online. Make sure to like us on Facebook. Search The Crispy Noodle and you'll find us there. And also follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. We actually have somebody that will, you know, respond to your tweets as opposed to the Vatican, who probably have just an old guy just blubbering on his computer.
He's just staring at the screen doing that.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it was a good day's worth of work.
Yep, that's it.
Oh. But I don't even know what to say other than you can also subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. Definitely no blown raspberries on YouTube.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where you have the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast that you can listen to easily on the go. You can share with friends and family, your priest, your social media coordinators.
Whoever you want to.
Yeah, whoever you want to. Some of the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. And remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes. There are so many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's going on. If you got any odd news of your own, send it our way. Or anything else you think we should talk about, send it our way. But that will do it for us. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right. I think that's it for us.
Yeah. Good show. Good show.
All right. So see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.